When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Thank you so much for joining tonight. We're going to talk about praying in Jesus' name. We're going to talk about healing in Jesus' name tonight. We're going to talk about Jesus' name and why we should use it, why it's not blasphemous, as some people may believe, who only believe in the Old Testament, who are possibly Jewish, or who don't understand why we use the name of Jesus. And I'm going to just kind of comfort you in that and ease your mind if you're worrying about using Jesus' name in prayer. And I remember asking the people that mentored me as an early Christian, as a young Christian, and asking them, is it necessary to pray in Jesus' name? Why should I pray in Jesus' name? Why can't I just pray to God without bringing Jesus into it? And that's because there's a lot of things that I didn't yet understand about Jesus himself and about using his name. So let's get into it and let's pray. But you know what? Before I go into prayer, I want to tell you that I have a new book out on Amazon.com. It's called A Position of Faith. A position of faith, standing firm in our faith in the face of fear and doubt. And I believe that it will help with discipleship. There's information here that's going to help you become a greater or a better disciple of Christ. It's also going to help you to navigate your faith through times of fear and doubt. And I've been through plenty of those trials and those testings where my faith is being tested because I have doubts that arise in my mind, or I've had doubts, I've had fears that I couldn't seem to break through. I couldn't seem to break that pattern, that cycle, that loop that was running in my mind. And these are things that I learned to overcome, how to overcome those fears, those doubts, and some of the testimonies that came out of that as I removed doubt and as I stepped out in faith. This is all about faith. It's all about faith in Jesus, what correct faith is, what believing correctly in the truth of the gospel is, and the results we see come out of that. So that is out in ebook version and in paperback version. It's $1.99 for the ebook and $11.99 for the paperback. And if you'd like to purchase that, please do. If you don't have money to, sign up for a free trial membership of Kindle Unlimited, and you can download that book for free. Hallelujah. It's not really about the money. It's about getting the message of the gospel out there. It's about raising up disciples. It's about going out and preaching to all nations that they would receive salvation. Hallelujah. That they would be healed, saved, and delivered. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that we can come before you, that we can boldly enter into your presence. We can boldly enter and come before the throne of grace through the precious blood that you shed. Your blood is the gateway, Lord Jesus. And we pray in your name, because your name is greater than any other name. It's the name above every other name. So we come before you right now. We just lay it all down again. We lay down stress, worry, fear, and doubt. If those things are troubling us, if those things are coming, if they're coming into our minds, these thoughts are entering our minds, we're responsible for casting them down, but we're not responsible for the first thought. So those thoughts that are entering minds right now, I take hold of them. I cast them down in Jesus' name. I cast down every imagination and every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ in Jesus' name right now. And Lord, I ask that I speak your words and not my own. Help me to speak your words and not my own, Holy Spirit, that many would understand why we pray in Jesus' name and how to move in faith as we speak the name of Jesus, as we command bodies, minds, spirits, and souls to come into alignment with the word of God in the name of Jesus, that many would be healed, saved, and delivered once again. The best place for us to start is John 14, 13 and 14. Let's turn there. John 14, 13 and 14. And it says this, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And these are the words of Jesus. So to fully understand what Jesus is saying in this verse, we should also reference another verse before continuing. And that verse is John 14, 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So Jesus is claiming in verse 11 that he and the Father are one. That's what he's saying here. By stating this, Jesus is claiming that he is God, by saying God is in him, and by stating that he is in God. If he's in the Father, that would mean he is an aspect or manifestation of God, which is true, and that's exactly who he is. He's the Word of God, and the Word of God is God, according to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is an aspect of God, a manifestation of God, a way that God reveals himself or has revealed himself to mankind, and he still does through Christ. So verses 13 and 14 here also confirm the divinity of Christ, since Jesus says, anything you ask in my name, that I will do. And I would really suggest that you read through the entirety of the chapter in John 14. So notice that Jesus doesn't begin by saying, just ask me for anything and I'll do it. He begins a couple of verses back with his credentials. Hallelujah. With his credentials as the divine Son, as Jesus, God manifest in human flesh. So he mentions the works he's been doing and challenges his disciples to believe in him because of them. So why do you think he did that? Why do you think he challenged his disciples in such a way? Because Jesus performed miracles that only God himself could pull off. He spoke things that only God could speak. He did things only God could do. We need to recognize that before we move on. So who else could raise the dead, cast out demons with a word, or heal a blind man who had been blind from birth? Who could do such things except Jesus? So Jesus, because Jesus is the divine Son and one with the Father, he is able to say that he'll respond to our requests. He's allowed to say that. Amen. He has the authority to say that he'll respond, that anything we ask in his name, he will do. He even tells us why, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We see that again, as we just read in John chapter 14. He doesn't say that the Father may be glorified through the Son, although this is also true. Obviously, both phrases are true. Both statements are true, but there's a reason why he puts it this way. He wants his disciples to understand that when he is glorified, that when the Son is glorified, the Father is also glorified. When Jesus answers a prayer, he is only acting within his realm of authority. He has the authority to answer our prayers. He has the authority to manifest himself in any form he sees fit. He exists outside of space and time. He can manifest in bodily form. He can manifest in spirit form. He can manifest in any way, shape, or form he chooses. So Jesus hears our prayers and responds as we place our faith in him. And understand this, Jesus the man was given all authority, and Jesus the Word already had that authority. Okay, I know that's a little deep, but understand this. Jesus is fully God and fully man. So Jesus was given authority as a man, but he was also, he already had that authority. He already possessed that authority as the Word of God manifest in human flesh. And I only say this because of those who will say that Jesus had to be given authority because prior to his resurrection, he didn't have it. And although there was honor that came because Jesus completed his mission while on earth, he was already God manifest in flesh before this. And we can't forget that. We can't forget the fact that Jesus has been the Word of God and has been God from the beginning of time and before that. He's eternal, and only God can be eternal. So a scripture that confirms this truth that I've just spoken of is 1 Timothy 3:16, which says this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." Hallelujah. Received up in glory. He's ascended. He's resurrected, but he also ascended to send us down the Holy Spirit. But can he manifest himself today in whatever way he chooses to? Yes, he can. He came down to earth and manifest himself in human flesh to be sacrificed on the cross, to resurrect, to raise from the dead, that he would prove once and for all he had the keys of death in the grave. And he has the keys. So that means he will resurrect us at the last day. He will meet us in the sky. In the blink of an eye, like a thief in the night, he will come and he will rapture his church. He will take us to heaven with him. He will receive us unto himself. So knowing this truth, we can pray in Jesus' name, and that he'll respond is an amazing promise, isn't it? We need to believe his words and be moved to action because he told us that anything we ask in his name will be done. So if you simply believe the words of Jesus, then all of his miraculous power can be demonstrated as you pray in faith. All of these miraculous things can be demonstrated as you pray in faith, as you pray and command them to happen in Jesus' name. And I once heard a brother say, well, we can't command anything. We shouldn't be commanding anything. That's prideful. No, that's confidence. Amen. I once heard someone say, confidence in God, we should call it Godfidence. And we should have that. We should have that Godfidence where we're able to step in our authority, knowing that we are children of God, knowing our identity, to see the manifestation of God's power at work. So when we pray, we should be bold with our requests. God awaits his children's words. He loves us to pray. He loves to hear us pray according to his will and his heart for us. So God wants to heal. He wants to restore. He wants to bring the dead to life, spiritually and physically. He wants to bring us to life. And until the Holy Spirit encountered my spirit, until the Holy Spirit touched my spirit, I wasn't truly alive. When I was born again, I remember looking out the window after encountering the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. I remember looking out the window and the grass looking greener. The birds' songs sounded louder. My senses were stimulated on a level they never had been, and that's because now I was spiritually alive. Have you ever seen the movie The Matrix? It's kind of like that. You know, I really believe that's symbolic. That movie, there must have been a Christian that was one of the producers in that movie, because it's almost symbolic of what happens in the born-again experience when the Holy Spirit touches our spirit and we become brand new, and the whole world looks different to us. Everything feels different. Everything sounds different because now we're new creations and we have the Spirit of the living God living within us to discern good from evil, light from dark, the truth from a lie. And we need to continue to discern and pray for more discernment in these last days and times. So as we step out in faith, Jesus steps in to fulfill the promise. Jesus was moved with compassion wherever he went. Where there was faith and a need for his touch, he extended his mercy and made people whole. The glory of God, the presence of God has the power to do that. We only need to believe it. You hear me, brother? You hear me, sister? We only need to believe and we can receive. If you can believe for it, you can receive it. If you can desire it, if you can desire it with the right intentions, with the intentions that are purposed toward the will of God and the plan of God, you can receive those things that you're desiring. If you're desiring to move in the prophetic, God wants you to move in the prophetic, but he wants you to do it for the right reasons, not for promotion, not for position, not for title, not for power, not for money, but he wants you to do it so you can give words of knowledge, so you can speak into people's lives, so you can declare things over people's lives that will come to pass and that they would be saved, healed, and delivered through those words that you're releasing, not so you can gain things for yourself and reap destruction upon yourself. That's a word for someone. So now let's turn to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Amen. God is so good. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. From those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So the man who was lame from birth was begging for money at the gate called Beautiful. This man happened to ask Peter and John for money. He happened to ask them for silver and gold. He didn't realize who he was talking to. He didn't realize he was talking to two men filled with the very Spirit of God. He didn't realize he was about to encounter the virtue of the Holy Spirit, the virtue of Jesus, the power of God. He had no idea he was about to encounter Jesus, Messiah, Lord and God. Hallelujah. Peter then said, "Look at us. Look at us." They locked eyes with the lame man. They wanted the man to see their confidence. There's confidence that we should step out in, knowing our authority. And as they stepped out in that confidence, they took the man by the hand. Hallelujah. They took the man by the hand and they pulled him up. And as they pulled him up, stepping out in faith and boldness, this confidence, the Holy Spirit flowed. As they activated their faith, the Holy Spirit moved, and the power of God caused this man to raise up and be healed. Many of us are moving in faith. I'm going to say this. Many of us are moving in faith, but there's also doubt in the mix. We need to remove the doubt. We need to push the doubt out. We need to cast down thoughts and imaginations that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God in Christ so that we can see those miracles manifested as we step out in faith and boldness. So there's a boldness, there's a confidence, there's an expectancy we can have when we believe for healing, deliverance, or any other supernatural occurrence. And once again, it has to do with simply believing the words of Jesus. He said, anything you ask in my name, I will do it. He will do it. He will carry it out. So we can command someone's mind, body, soul, or spirit to come into alignment with the word of God, to be made whole. And it should. And it should. And we should believe for that desired result. That thing we're believing for, we should believe for it. And we should not only believe for it, we should expect it to take place. In some cases, we don't see that manifestation take place immediately, but we should be persistent in prayer, believing that it will take place. There's times I've prayed 10 times in one night for one person, and I didn't see the manifestation. They didn't see the manifestation in their body until the next morning when they woke up, or the next day after that, or 1 week later, or 1 month later. A lot of times it happens immediately, but sometimes there's a delayed reaction, a delayed healing. And very rarely, sometimes someone doesn't get healed at all, but we don't know the reason for that. Just encourage them and say, believe. Believe for greater things. Believe for this healing. Hallelujah. I'm believing for you. I'm believing with you. Encourage them. Don't put them down. Because I've seen so many miracles, manifestations, signs, wonders, healings, and deliverances. And we want to encourage one another, because I've seen people with very little faith that didn't get healed right away. But as their faith began to increase, they did receive healing. So we want to build up, not tear down. Let's keep that in mind. So God confirms the truth of the gospel through signs, wonders, and miracles. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus tells his disciples to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He also tells them about the signs that follow those who believe. He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not harm them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will recover. So the snakes part, what the Pentecostals do in the South and some other places, we shouldn't be picking up snakes just to test if we're godly or we're holy because we don't get bit. No, this is talking about while you're doing the work of God, whatever happens, whether someone tries to poison you or you have to pick up a snake and throw it out of the way, if it bites you, it's not going to harm you. That the poison that enters your body, that sickness, disease, infirmity, and poisons are not going to harm you while you're in the process of doing the work of God, while you're in the process of preaching the gospel. So this is yet another reason why we should go out and preach the gospel, why we shouldn't keep our mouths shut. Because as we're actively living out the will of God and the will of God for all of our lives, not only people who are called to be evangelists like myself should be preaching the gospel, we should all be preaching the gospel because the Bible calls us to do it. He calls each believer to share the gospel with words and with actions. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for what you've done, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. So if you read on in chapter 16, that is Mark chapter 16, in verse 20, it says, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Those are the signs we just read about. Healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. Those are some of the signs that will follow those who believe, those who go out preaching the gospel. So Jesus is active in our lives, although he's ascended in bodily form to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus exists outside of space and time. That means he manifests himself wherever and however he chooses. Verse 20 says, Jesus was working with them and confirming the word through miracles. I find it interesting that he says it this way. This bit of knowledge about what takes place when the gospel is preached gives us a glimpse into the unseen realm. It helps us to see into that spirit realm that's around us, that's beyond the natural reality, so we can understand what's taking place spiritually. It helps us to understand that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are at work. As we speak God's word and share the good news, we leave the rest to God, and he will confirm the truth as it's spoken. He will seal it in the hearts of those who have heard it and have responded in faith. So if you're still uncertain about whether praying in Jesus' name is acceptable or proper, if you're still questioning whether it's proper to command healing in Jesus' name or to cast out demons in Jesus' name, there's no other way. I'll tell you that first. But I want to go over one more passage of Scripture with you before we come to the end of this teaching. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you are holy. You are Lord. It says this, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth. Now let's cross-reference this passage of Scripture with the Old Testament by reading Isaiah 45, verses 22 and 23. So let's go there. Isaiah 45, verses 22 and 23. Now I want you to make the connection for those of you who may be Jewish, for those of you who believe in God but don't necessarily believe in Jesus and are still questioning. I want you to see the connection between these two scriptures. Philippians 2, verses chapter 2, verses 8 and 10, and Isaiah 45, verses 22 and 23. Let's turn there in our Bibles. So Isaiah 45, 22 and 23 say this, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. See any similarities here? God is explicit in the Old Testament in stating that he is the only true and living God, that he doesn't share his glory with anyone, and that he never will. Also, that every knee will inevitably bow to him. But Philippians is saying that every knee will bow to Jesus. So are we talking about two gods here? The only way this could be true for both Yahweh and Jesus to be God is if they are the same God, if they are both Yahweh. So Paul, who was inspired to write Philippians of the Holy Spirit or through the Holy Spirit, was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. He was a religious leader at the time, right after Jesus had been crucified, resurrected. After that period of time, he was going around killing Christians because they claimed that Jesus was God. They claimed that Jesus was Lord. They claimed Jesus was the Son of God. So he considered this blasphemy worthy of execution. That is, until he encountered Jesus, he was blinded. He was knocked off his horse. He later was led to Ananias. Ananias laid his hands on him. The Holy Spirit came and restored his sight. Well, Ananias didn't restore his sight, but the Holy Spirit restored his sight. And then after that encounter, he was also filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was transformed. He was changed in more ways than one, because he no longer persecuted those people who said Jesus was the Son of God, who said Jesus was the Messiah. He now claimed that Jesus was Messiah. He now claimed that Jesus was the Son of God. How does that happen? How does that happen that a man who is well-educated, who knows the Bible, he knows the Old Testament, he knew the Tanakh inside and out, he knew the meanings of the Scriptures, how could he possibly then give his life to a man who claimed to be God, a man who claimed to be the Son of God, because he met him, he encountered him personally. He had that encounter, and he was never the same. And I want you to have an encounter with Christ. It may be one of those encounters where you're knocked off the horse. That was the kind of encounter that I had. As I was getting ready to take my own life, that's when I encountered the Lord in a powerful way for the first time, where I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and he set me free, and I no longer had those thoughts of suicide and depression. The Lord wants to encounter you right now. He's manifesting his power. He's manifesting his power and presence right now for you to encounter him. Just as Paul encountered that light and heard Jesus speak to him and was changed and transformed, and he received not only his sight back, his natural sight back, he received spiritual sight, spiritual ears. to see Jesus, to hear his voice, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's what's happening with you right now. Hallelujah. I believe that's what's happening in your home, in your apartment, in your car, in your rented room, in the streets, wherever you are. I believe that God is manifesting himself to you even now in Jesus' mighty name. So I encourage you to pray in Jesus' name, to heal in Jesus' name, to cast out devils in Jesus' name. Kibu kundaba sandi, sobo kundaba sandi. Jesus is willing to impart all that you're waiting for, all that you're asking for, all that you're praying for. He's willing to impart eternal life, which is the greatest blessing, which is the greatest gift that he has purchased for us on the cross. So receive, brother, receive, sister, receive everything that God wants to impart to you right now.